I don't always do lessons pertaining to holidays. I may have mentioned that before, but sometimes there's a holiday that might spark an idea in my mind, and so I might do a lesson related to it. And this is another of those instances. Obviously, this weekend we might say is Memorial Day weekend, as tomorrow is Memorial Day. And certainly we want to make mention of the fact that we've referenced before, just a few weeks ago actually, about our soldiers and them being heroes and giving them lives, their lives for our freedoms. And certainly we want to honor them in the best way that we can. But because we just kind of talked about that and being a soldier for Christ a few weeks ago, I want to do something a little different. As I was thinking about Memorial Day, I got to thinking about how often the word memorial is used in the Bible, how often God used this idea of reminding and remembrance. In fact, I was looking, there are 233 instances, in the King James Bible anyways, of the word memorial, remember, and remembrance. Those three terms combined, you see them 233 times, and most of them are used in a sense that we're discussing this morning. God would have things, items. We're going to talk about different, even something that was on their garment or activities, events that they would participate in that would serve as memorials to them. So they would be reminded of something that God had done or something that God wanted them to think about. Memory is a very powerful thing. And so I want to focus on what we should memorialize in a spiritual sense this morning from God's Word. Psalm 135 and verse 13 that you see there. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. Let's talk about what that means, memorial. I think about memory, and I have to start by telling you this. I heard this a long time ago, but sometimes they say, and I already have trouble with my memory sometimes, remembering things, short-term memory loss. I'm like Dory, if you've ever seen Nemo. Sometimes I just forget immediately. I heard about, apparently as you get older, you know, they say that you begin to lose your memory more and more. Several of you have told me that you feel like you just don't have a memory at all sometimes. But I heard about three ladies, and maybe this will make you feel better, that three older sisters well into their 90s that were together. And they were in the kitchen, and one of them was pulling the mayonnaise jar out of the refrigerator. And she said, you know, there are times that I just don't even remember if I was pulling the mayonnaise jar out or if I was putting it in. And so I'll just stop and have to try to remember. And the other one said, yeah, you know, sometimes the second sister, I'll be going up the stairs and I can't remember if I was actually going to be going back down them or if I was going the wrong way or if I meant to go up or I'll forget what I was doing. And the third sister said, yeah, I'm glad I don't have any trouble with that, knock on wood. And she said, oh, that'll be the door. Let me go get that real quick. Sometimes, we've all been there, whether you're young or old, sometimes, I apologize, I had to share that. Forget things. It's just human nature. We forget things. Our memory's not always there, and especially us guys sometimes. We have to write things down to remember them. And you know, if you forget to turn the eye off in the oven, as long as your house doesn't burn down, that's okay. You can, those kind of things you can forget. But these are things we're going to talk about this morning that you need to always strive to remember. Let's start in our Bibles in Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Let's just begin by looking at some examples, some ways in which God uses this idea of memorializing. Exodus chapter 12, and we'll see the significance hopefully therein. Beginning in verse 14. After the final plague, God chooses to memorialize, to have them always remember that final Passover, that time in which the Lord passed over the houses and those who had the blood, you remember, all of the male lamb and of the certain age, all those details. And if they did that correctly, put it on the doorpost, the Lord would pass over that house and their firstborn would be spared. And so God chose to memorialize this. Look at verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance, notice, forever. 7 days you'll eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Very serious. In the first day there shall be an holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. It was a time of rest, those Sabbath, the beginning and the end. Verse 17. Ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread for? Here's the reason. God, why is it we need to do this every year for 7 days? What's the point? For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. God did something incredible for them. And think about, by the way, on a side note here, the picture of salvation in that Exodus and going through that Red Sea that they're going to do in a moment. But at this point, the 10 plagues, the final plague has passed. He passed over them. He did not take away their firstborn. He says, I want you to remember this forever. Memory is a very interesting thing, the way our minds work, because the only way that something stays in our mind is if it's repeated. Right, we have to do things or go over things over and over again for them to really stick. Right? How did you learn, for example, your multiplication tables when you're going through school as a young lad or lass? You were sitting there, maybe it was fifth grade, fourth grade, and you had to memorize those multiplication tables, right? 1 through 12, and so you do it over. 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 3 is 6. 2 times 4 is 8. And you go through all those, and you just repeat them over and over and over again, and before long, they're just stuck. You remember them. You don't even have to think about them. You just see 6 times 8 and you know that's how much that is. It's 48. You just know because you've done it so much. That's how our memory works. On the other hand, and we'll talk about this a little more in a moment, but on the flip side of this, if you don't continue to use it, if you don't continue to remind yourself of something, you forget it. Right? Maybe you watched a movie years ago. You can think of a movie you saw and maybe that next day, you could tell anybody that whole movie just about. You knew that movie so well, but as week and week passes and you don't watch the movie again, you begin to forget about it. You forget what happened. You forget the scenes, and before long, you could just about watch it as if it were fresh again because you've forgotten most of that movie. That's how the mind works. It takes repetition. And so you notice here, God says, I want you to remember it, but here's how you're going to remember it. Repetition. Every time, every year, you're going to take 7 days and you're going to remember this. You're going to do this activity, this Passover feast, but the purpose of that feast is a mnemonic device. It is a reminder to you every time you partake of it that I passed over your houses. I brought you out of the land of Egypt, and you do this, he says, forever. Repetition. For the rest of your life, Israelites, you're going to partake of this ordinance. Another example we won't turn to, but just to show you the consistency, you might think of Joshua chapter 4. When they were passing through the Jordan River, they had the priest standing there with the ark, and he said, I want you to take a stone for each tribe and put it on your shoulder. Take it out of the Jordan River, and I want you to take it to where we lodge, and you're going to leave it there. And those stones, verse 7, he says, of Joshua 4, will be a memorial. So when your children see those stones and they say, what does this mean? You'll be reminded, and you'll tell them. Right? There's so many reasons for that. You're going to be reminded, and you're going to teach others about what I did for you in passing you through the Jordan to the promised land. That picture there again of salvation. But I want you to turn, if you're still in Exodus 12, turn the page over one time or so to chapter 13. Chapter 13 and verse 9. Here's where this, I believe, is the significance, where it gets very interesting. Exodus 13, 9. He's talking about the Passover again and that memorial feast, the unleavened bread. But he says this. Look at verse 9 with me. It shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, notice, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Now wait a second. What in the world does remembering what God did for them in Egypt have to do with that causing them to always have the Lord's law in their mouth? Right? There's some connection here between a memorial of what God did being connected with their obedience to God's commands. What is that connection? Maybe think of it this way. Think of someone that's very dear to you, someone that's always been so very good to you in their life. You love them, you would do anything for them because of how good they were. Maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a grandparent, maybe it's a friend, a sibling, a child, whoever it is. And if you knew that person wanted something very dearly of you, something that was good, something that was positive, you would do everything in your power to do that for them because you love them and because they've done so much for you. Now, apply that to what God's doing here. When these Israelites thought about what God did for them in taking them out of that slavery, right? And you know how this applies. We'll talk about it in a minute. But he took them out of that bondage and that slavery and the pain that they were enduring, brought them out, gave them freedom. And he says, I just want you to remember that I did that for you. And that will cause you to obey my law. Why? Because the least that they could do in appreciation for what God had done for them is to desire to want to give back to God in some way that they could. Because they love the Lord, because the Lord first loved them, right? There's that cycle. And so when we're reminded, when they're reminded, or when we're reminded of what God has done for us, as they were reminded of what God had done for them, it causes us to want to do what God asked us to do. It causes us to love Him and to want to serve Him and to want to please Him, because that's the least we can do. That memorial idea. One more example, you don't have to turn to this one, but in Numbers 15, he also used not only activities, but pieces of the garment. I really like this passage, but we don't really have time to delve into it. But in Numbers 15, he told these Israelites, he says, I want you to wear a blue tassel, basically a fringe, I believe he calls it in the King James Version. But I want you to wear a blue tassel on your garments. Now, blue, as you recall, is the color of God in the Bible. The sapphire throne, the blue tassel. There's lots of references to blue and that being connected with God. Very symbolic. And so he says, I want you to have a blue tassel on your garments, guys, because when you see that blue tassel, about verse 40 or so there, he says, you'll remember my commands. And you won't do what you want to do, he says, but you'll do what I want you to do. And so these reminders, these things that trigger and remind us, hey, God is there, and God wants me to make good choices. God wants me to live for Him, and they memorialize. He's memorialized in that way. One other passage, by way of introduction, is Ecclesiastes 12:1. What's the first word of that verse? You know it. Remember, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Why does God want young people to remember Him? Why not say, obey God in the days of your youth? That's in essence what he's saying. But you know, the best way to do that is to think of God. I mean, how many times do we sin and make mistakes because we just don't think of God? We just forget about God and His Word for a moment, and then we let sin take over. If you're thinking about God, it's going to be a lot harder for you to sin against Him, right? And so in your youth, when the days aren't evil and you have no pleasure in the days of old, as you're going to get older, he's going to describe there, verse 1, he says, remember Him. Remember Him in your youth, and you will naturally obey Him and want to serve Him every way that you can. Memory, here's the point of all of this. Memory, what you think of, what you're reminded of, affects your mood and it affects your action. And so when you remember something that sad, maybe it's a loved one, and you think back and you remember and you lost them, and that makes you sad because you remember that. You remember something that happened that made you angry in the past, and you think of that, and it almost makes you angry as if you were there again. But on the same note, when you think of something godly, or you think of God or something positive, then it causes you to be positive. And that action that results is going to be a positive one. What I want to do is really just two points here. I want to talk about how God remembers us, and then I want to, from that, talk about how we need to remember God and make the applications therein. I want to start in Judges now. Judges chapter 16, if you'll turn over there with me. Judges chapter 16. Let's talk a minute about Samson. Thinking of how God remembers us, motivates us to want to serve Him. And so that's where we're going to begin. Judges chapter 16. We're at the latter part of the story here of Samson. And as you recall, Samson and Delilah, the whole shindig here, and you've got Delilah who's trying to get it out of him. Samson, what is the source of your strength? And he says, well, it's this, and she does that, and that doesn't do it, and then, well, he used these ropes, and that doesn't do it. And then finally, she just bugs him. And basically, the Bible says his soul is just vexed, because she was just constantly asking him, what is the source of your strength? And so he finally tells her, Delilah, fine, it's my head. I'm a Nazarite. I made that vow. My hair, as long as I don't shave my head, I'm going to be strong. So if you shave my head, I'm going to lose my strength. And so you remember he falls asleep on her lap and she has them shave his head. And he wakes up. In fact, look at verse Judges 16 here. Look at about verse 20. It just left me. Verse 19, verse 19. This is Judges 16, 19. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Verse 20. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. At a later time, I want to use that verse and talk a little more about it. But for now, I want you to notice here this idea. He doesn't know. He doesn't realize that the Lord is not with him. This idea of departure is the very definition of the word for remember in the Hebrew language. What basically the idea is, to illustrate it, would be as if, let's say you see somebody that you've met before in the past. It's been a while, but they shake your hand and they say to you, "Do you remember me? We've met before," in other words. "Do you remember me?" And you say, "Yeah, I do. I remember you." And there's already an initial relationship there. And then you build off of that. Whereas somebody that you don't know or you've never met is a stranger to you. The word "remember" in the Hebrew is the idea of being an acquaintance with, having a relationship with that you build upon. And so here, Samson does not realize that he's now a stranger to God. They're not acquaintances. They have no relationship anymore. God has left him, and with that, the benefits of that relationship, Samson's strength, is gone too. And so about verse 20 there. He did not realize the Lord had departed from him. So many lessons from that. But jump down to verse 26. Verse 26. "Samson said unto the lad that led him by the hand." Now remember, the Philistines take him. They imprison him. They put these bronze or brass chains on him between two pillars. And they're just making sport of Samson. They're having a party right on top of his head on the roof. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." And the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there. There were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that made sport of Samson. Here's verse 28. "Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me." Don't make me a stranger. Don't make me like someone you've never met before. Remember me. I want to have that relationship with you again, in other words. "I pray thee," and the benefit of that relationship, "strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." You remember they plucked his eyes out. How awful that would have been. But the Lord gives him his strength back, and he pulls down the pillars and killed more than he ever did in his entire life at one time at his death, the Bible says. What's the point of that? Samson asked God to remember him. And what that meant was that he had that relationship with God, that they were not strangers to one another, but that he, you know, in his obedience to God and his memory of God, would have God's favor. 1 Samuel 1:11, you see the same statement, and there are a lot of these examples. I'll just briefly mention this one. When Hannah prays for a son, she says to God, "Please remember me. I want to have the benefits of a relationship with you. I want your blessings," in other words, "to be upon me." This time it's not strength. It's about having a male son, and God blesses her. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy and let's make the application. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Here's the application of this particular point. God, just like He remembered Samson and blessed him in His way, just like He remembered Hannah and blessed her in His way, for those of us who are faithful to our Lord, He remembers us every day. I want you to notice the things, of all the things Moses could mention as to how God remembered these Israelites. I want you to notice what he says and think about how this applies to you and me. Deuteronomy 8, verse number 3. Verse number 3. He's referencing their time in the wilderness here. Moses says, "He humbled thee, Israel. He suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that the man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." He remembered you how? When he fed you. Verse 4. "He remembered you how? Your raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. I really think that was miraculous there. I just don't see how that could be possible without God's literal miraculous working there. They wore clothes that never grew old for 40 years. Sandals were on their feet that never tore or ripped. They didn't have to walk on their bare feet and have swollen and torn feet in the wilderness. God blessed him with clothes. He blessed them with these necessities. Verse 5, consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Right? Those hard times you had, Israel, you don't realize that that's God remembering you. That's God blessing you so that you would grow, so that you would learn from your mistakes. Are you seeing the application here? Verse 6, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. God remembers you every day. It doesn't take you being a doctor in order for you to say that God blessed you. It doesn't mean that you have to drive a brand new Corvette around town for God to have remembered you. When you're down and you're out and you're having a hard day, but there's food on the table, God didn't forget you that day. God fed you that day. He took care of you. When you're down and you're having a hard day and things are bad, but you've got clothes on your back, God didn't forget you that day. He clothed you. When you're struggling and things and you're hurting and there's pain in your life, God didn't forget you. You're going to grow from that. If you have the right attitude, you can take that and become stronger and learn from it. Right? These are ways that God remembers us. You don't have to look for the biggest, greatest blessing of all time for God to remember you, to know that He's taking care of you and that He's in your life. Just these basic necessities. How often when you eat your food, do you use that as a memorial? How often does that remind you that God is there and that He's blessed you? I imagine with the case of food, probably most of us, because I would imagine most everybody, if not everybody in this room, probably prays over their food. 1 Timothy 4, 1-5, you're appreciative. You receive that meat with thanksgiving and you associate it with prayer. That's a biblical concept. That's not just a tradition. And so you do that. But what about clothes? How often when you put, and I'm talking to myself too here, but how often when you dress in the morning do you think, man, this is a blessing from God that I've got clothes to put on this morning to drive to work in. Right? This is a blessing from God that I've got different shoes. I've got dress shoes. And this is a guy talking. I've got dress shoes and tennis shoes and sandals. I got like one pair of each. You know, but ladies, who knows, right? You've got 50 pair of shoes or, right? You've got 16 purses or whatever it is. Right? I'm picking, but that's a blessing from God. Nothing wrong with that. But remember why you have it. That's God remembering you. And a Christian is always taken care of. Let's flip to the other side of this, though, and how we are told biblically to remember Him. We think about how He remembers us. That's a way to remember Him. That's kind of a almost confusing way to put it, but it's true. But let's start with the most obvious. We have a memorial we're going to partake of in just a moment. Why do we do that? Why do we have that memorial? Why does God want us to do that, not yearly, not even monthly, but every first day of the week? One out of every 7 days, you are to remember every Sunday that Jesus died on that cross for you. The bread, the body, 1 Corinthians 11:24, is to remember His body, to remember His flesh that was beaten. The grape juice, the fruit of the vine, is to remember the blood that was shed. And as you do this, verse 26, you do show the Lord's death until He comes. You proclaim that by that memorial. What does that mean? When you're partaking of the Lord's Supper, you're showing everybody, you're proclaiming it, you're remembering it. And that motivates us, hopefully, it reminds us that Christ gave His life for me. He remembered me enough to die on that cross for me, for every one of you as an individual. If that doesn't motivate you to want to serve Him throughout the rest of that week, what does? You know, we talk about attendance and the importance of it, but let's just make maybe one point here about it. If you're not here, you can study the Bible at home. That's not what God wants you to do, but you could. You could argue that I can still learn and maybe you could sing, not really congregationally, but what about the Lord's Supper? What about proclaiming that in the public congregation? Are you doing that at home every Sunday when you miss worship? I doubt it. Are you making unleavened bread? Are you buying it? Do you have that grape juice? I really doubt that that's the case. You're missing out on a proclamation and a memorial. And if you're not reminded every week of the Lord's death, what's going to happen? If you forget and you don't think about that cross every so often, your life's going to reflect it. Because that's what motivates us. The preaching of the cross to those that perish to the world are foolishness, but to us, it's the power of God. Not only does it save our souls, but it reminds us and it pushes us and motivates us to do His will. Because He first loved us and showed that to us in incredible ways. Deuteronomy 15:15 that you see there, he references the fact that Israel was to allow their slave in year 7. If they, once they've had that slave for 7 years, man or woman,